This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:05 this hour. We're talking about plans by the Youth and Sports Minister, Syed Saddiq, to bring Gojek to Malaysia. So yesterday, he brought Gojek founder Nadiem Makarim to meet Prime Minister Tun Mahathir and Transport Minister Anthony Lok. And apparently, it was quite a positive meeting.
Yeah, and Syed Saddiq is hoping that they can finalise discussions during the cabinet meeting this Wednesday. So the rationale for bringing in Gojek is because he says that motorcyclists here need jobs and protection, not one-off programs or racetracks. And he hopes that Gojek can potentially provide hundreds of thousands of jobs and help small businesses.
So we did have Dago Ride in Malaysia, which was declared illegal under both the Barisan and Pakatan governments because of safety reasons. Anthony Lok himself said last year, "We will never legalize Dago Ride in Malaysia because we disagree with any types of ride-sharing services that involve motorcycles." In Malaysia, he goes on to say, "There are too many accidents involving bikes that we just can't take the risk."
And he's not wrong. Malaysia has one of the highest road fatality rates in the world. We've been surpassed, though, recently by Vietnam and Thailand. But that's not because our numbers have gone down. It's just theirs have gone up. And of the 7,000 or so who died on the roads just last year, half of them were motorcyclists.
In Malaysia?
In Malaysia. being on a motorcycle is in Malaysia is not a safe journey. So, you know, if you're looking for safety, I don't know. But I actually worked in Jakarta in the 90s, and so I was familiar with the motorbike taxi service. Mm-hmm. I never took it myself. I was always way too scared. But you would always be able to spot them. They'd be sitting on their bikes on a street corner, dressed entirely in black, black helmet. That was always the sign. Just tap them on the shoulder and say where you want to go, and off you went. But it was an informal system, as so much of Jakarta certainly was and probably still is. It's a huge city. Whereas in Malaysia, there's the desire for regularizing everything, regulating. So Ayman, you and I, we've been arguing about this, pro and con.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, I think it's dangerous and there will be fatalities. Mm-hmm. But if buyer beware, if you take the service, you take your risks.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, sure, you can put the responsibility on the people who book the rides or whatever you call it. But I think that Malaysian roads just aren't equipped for motorcycle taxis. First is the behavior of the drivers on the road. You know, everyone drives like crazy. Everyone is not disciplined. And only recently we were talking about how motorcycle lanes in Klang Valley, for example, just eternally under construction, full of potholes, not very well lit, and even something like a branch can completely derail your ride, causing accidents. So Malaysian roads itself is not safe for if they were to bring in Gojek. It wouldn't be safe for Gojek riders and the passengers.
Well, now Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq has said that, you know, according to data, it, you know, doesn't necessarily look the best on its surface. But in the Malaysian context, he says that it's because most of those accidents happen on long distance travels as opposed to short distance travel. So maybe if it just focused specifically on in smaller areas, they're only allowed to work within a certain radius, to help solve perhaps last mile connectivity issues between MRT stations, LRT stations, to a place where bus routes don't necessarily cover. That might be an effective way to, you know, both provide jobs and also to solve that, you know, last mile connectivity issue.
I'm convinced. Yeah, he convinced me.
He convinced you.
What he says.
Well, let me unconvince you again, Kev, because another thing that we need to think about is, well, if Gojek was brought into Malaysia, for me, the main priority that they need to work on is the safety of both the riders and the passengers. And I mean, when I look at the food delivery riders that we have right now, some of them are like holding the phones while riding the bikes. So that's one of the things that needs to be sorted out. Provide the riders a phone holder, something as simple as that, or even things like high visibility jackets, just to make them more visible, and also provide proper training for the riders to ensure that they follow the rules and follow the SOPs from picking up the passenger right until dropping them off. And these are some of the steps that the company should take to at least assure that, steps have been taken to ensure the safety of passengers.
I don't know. I just feel that we should have an element of danger. We should accept that. Or not should accept. If you want to accept that, then you can accept that. And go ahead.
So like what? You open the Gojek app if it does come to our shores, and then it says, before you sign on to anything, it says, well, just realize that you have a high chance of getting into an accident.
Well, not a high chance. I mean, as I say, there were 7,000 fatalities. So that's not everybody.
Yeah.
But there's a chance that you will have an accident. I mean, it's a certainty. It's an absolute certainty that we are. The thing about Indonesia, Jakarta, is that the way that the city is structured, the journeys that, certainly in the 90s, I don't see why it would have changed much. The journeys you require for work would require going within a business district, so that the distance is not that far. It's too far to walk. Being in a taxi would take far too long, but it's just about right for a motorcycle, not a long distance.
Yeah.
Whereas in KL, the distances from that we would need to do for work, say, are kind of like, I don't know, be larger from, say, Jalan Sultan Ismail to Tamuntun Dr. Ismail. I mean, that's far.
Mm.
And whereas if you're in downtown, are you going to take a bike to go to a thing nearby? I don't know.
Well, I might be wrong here and with what I'm about to say, but I think why it worked in Indonesia is because they already had an established informal ecosystem when it comes to motorcycle taxis. And it's not something that we see commonly here. It's not something that we fully embrace here. So if they do try to bring in Gojek, and previously with Dago Ride as well, it is trying to introduce a relatively new culture here of taking motorcycle taxis. Mm. We're so used to car taxis here, and that is for good reason, right? And that's for a multiple array of reasons. But the motorcycle taxi itself, because it already was in place there, it was just very easy to just build an app and integrate it. And that's exactly what Gojek did. They just built an app. Well, firstly, they started with phone calls, but now it's surrounding an app, and they integrated several other things, and they built an entire ecosystem around the Ojek or the motorcycle bikes there. So that's one main concern I have, that seeing that it's not something that we are used to, that it might be a challenge to introduce.
So now I'm having second thoughts.
Not even Kelvin's not convinced.
I'm not sure to be in the first place. I'm not on either ends, really.
Well, I mean, another reason why I disagree with the idea of bringing in Gojek into Malaysia is, I mean, I disagree with looking towards ride-hailing services as a means to provide hundreds and thousands of jobs, because the gig economy is just a short-term solution for solving the unemployment problem we have. And these so-called gig workers or riders, they come in having very little rights, and they're also risking their safety of them and the passenger, and also using this asset that they have, their motorcycles, to earn money. And the wear and tear on the vehicles, it doesn't really match the amount of income that they will earn. Very low income, very unstable. They have to work really hard, long hours, to reach the sort of the minimum quota, and it's just a very short term solution to having a job, a meaningful job?
Well, I'm wavering now, and perhaps our listeners can help give me my opinion.
Yes. So to help with Cam's opinion, and do you want to see Gojek here in Malaysia? Would you take a ride on a motorcycle taxi? You can send us your thoughts at 7733 2900. It's the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Dr. Timothy Wong once again, lecturer at the Department of Economics at the National University of Singapore, for his thoughts on Gojek. So keep it here on Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:17, you're with Kelvin, Cam and Iman on the Evening Edition, and we're talking about plans by the Youth and Sports Ministry to bring Gojek into Malaysia. And we also want to hear from you if you have any thoughts. Do you want to see it here in Malaysia? Do you maybe plan on sitting on motorcycle taxis? And if you can compare experiences with, say, motorbike taxis that you have ridden on overseas, let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we're crossing over to Dr. Timothy Wong, lecturer at the Department of Economics at the National University of Singapore. He focuses on transportation economics, among other topics. Timothy, thanks again for joining us today. As we mentioned just now, we've got a high number of road accidents here involving motorcycles, and motorcyclists make up more than half of road fatalities here. So is a motorcycle riding, a ride-hailing service, something that's feasible here, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's an open question, I think, whether it's feasible here or not. There are certainly some benefits to allowing motorcycle ride-hailing services. The most immediate benefits is much lower costs. So you will see cheaper prices, and that opens up ride-hailing services for lower-income groups. And we've seen how ride-hailing services have been very beneficial to the middle class, to the higher-income groups in Malaysia. So the benefit, one benefit of motorcycle ride-hailing is that we would afford those benefits to low-income groups as well. Now, a second benefit would be motorcycle ride-hailing would take up a lot less space on the roads than cars and private cars and car ride-hailing does. So they have a smaller impact on congestion on the streets, which is another reason why we like we should like motorcycle ride-hailing services. The big concern, of course, is obviously safety, and the reason why we should be extra concerned when it comes to safety is because with any ride-hailing service, you're essentially pairing a rider and a driver who do not know each other at all, right? These are strangers who are transacting with each other. And when the rider gets onto the vehicle, they have no idea if the driver is, or in this case, the motorcycle rider, is safe or not. So we must do as much as we can to make sure that the people providing these services are safe. And we already do that, right? Our cars, our people who drive cars for ride-hailing services have to have licenses. The companies who run these apps like Grab or in the past Uber, they approve drivers and they monitor ratings of drivers to make sure that the drivers on their system are safe. So we would have to do the same thing for motorcycles if that were to work here. The problem is with all of these checks and that we have to ensure that the operators of the vehicles are safe, we can never be completely spot on, right? We will miss the mark sometimes, and some drivers that are less safe or some motorcycle riders who are less safe may get through the cracks. And with cars, it's not as detrimental because the physical structure of the car is one that keeps you safe. So as long as you have a high enough proportion of safe drivers, one or two, I think people are willing to bear the risk of one or two bad drivers in the entire system. With motorcycles, that risk is a lot higher because every unsafe motorcycle driver imposes a much higher probability of accident, injury, or death on the people who use the service. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are the benefits of motorcycle ride-hailing from cheaper service and lower levels of congestion, is that worth while relative to the cost of accidents? And it boils down to those two effects. The more we care about safety, the less viable motorcycle ride-hailing services become for the country.
What makes Gojek work in Indonesia?
To be honest, I don't think things are in Indonesia are any different. If you look at the traffic accident rates, traffic fatality rates in Indonesia relative to other countries in the region, outside of Singapore, which obviously is the safest, it's no safer. So the difference is the reason why we have motorcycle ride-hailing services in Singapore is because their society has decided that it's worthwhile, that the benefits of the cheaper service and the lower congestion rates overwhelm the concerns of safety, right? So I think that really is the only difference, why we see it there and we haven't seen it here. In the past, Malaysian regulators have decided that it's too dangerous relative to the benefits that we could reap.
Is there any way at all to make the safety aspect work if we really do want to introduce this here?
Right. If we want to make it work, we need to make the motorcycle safer. We need to make driving, road conditions safer. So there are small things you can do, right? You can designate motorcycle lanes that increases safety. You could have higher standards for licensing. You could have higher check standards for the safety checks on the motorcycles to make sure they're all safe to ride. So things like that would certainly help. Whether they help enough to reassure people that the system is safe, that's a whole other question, right?
Now, with car ride-hailing services, there have been concerns about single services turning into monopolies. Is this a pattern that takes over whenever you have a ride-hailing service?
There is certainly a potential for a monopoly, and we've seen car ride-hailing services form monopolies all over the world, right? And the reason for that is there is what we call a network effect benefit that comes out of these ride-hailing services. So drivers like to be on an app where there are many consumers because it means that it's very easy for them to find someone to drive around, right? So then they save time, they're not idle, and they don't have to drive as far to find a customer. And likewise, riders really like using apps that have lots of drivers on it. The reason being, then it's quick for you to find a driver that's close by, right? So because of that, both the drivers are looking for an app with lots of riders on it, and the riders are looking for an app with lots of drivers on it. And so the more drivers and the more riders there are on a single service, on a single app, the higher the value of that product, right? And that benefit of that network of riders and drivers accrues to the owner of the app. And so if you can grow your app such that everybody only wants to use you, you could get to extract the value of that app for yourself. And that's what many ride-hailing companies have tried to do. Is that an inevitable result of in ride-hailing markets? Not necessarily. The reason being that there are ways in which we can make sure that these benefits of the network are not captured by a single service. So an example of that would be in the U.S., there's more or less of a duopoly in when it comes to ride-hailing services. You have Uber and Lyft, and many of the drivers there, they drive for both Uber and they drive for Lyft, right? So as a customer looking for service, it doesn't matter whether I use Uber's app or I use Lyft's app. I can reach all of those drivers on either of those apps. So as long as you have a situation where drivers are on multiple platforms and they're allowed to be on multiple platforms, then you can mitigate this concern of a monopoly taking place. That's something that Singapore has recently been trying to deal with. So there is a bill in Parliament now that does not allow ride-hailing operators to form exclusive contracts with their drivers. So as a ride-hailing operator, Grab, for example, cannot tell a particular driver that you must only drive for me, right? When you do that, then you certainly, if you restrict your driver from driving for other people, then you certainly limit the ability of other people to form networks to compete with yours. So as long as the drivers are free to pick who they work with, and as long as these companies remain competitive, there's no reason why we should worry about a monopoly forming and then extracting high prices and from users of the service. Yeah.
So YB Syed Saddiq said that the key rationale for bringing in Gojek really is to increase job opportunities. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, YB Syed Saddiq is right that encouraging these types of services certainly opens up opportunities for people to work. And the barriers to entry when it comes to working here is not too high, right? You just need a driver's license or a motorcycle license to be able to get into these jobs. Now, Gojek does a lot of things other than provide ride-hailing services. And the other things that they do, for example, in Indonesia, for example, food delivery, these kinds of things we arguably should be much okay with, right? If a motorcycle gets in an accident and you lose the pizza or you lose a packet of nasi lemak, we're not too upset. Obviously, if the motorcycle gets in an accident and you lose a life, that's a much higher cost. So one way that Gojek could enter is to enter on all the other with all the other types of services they provide with their motorcycle services, right? I think they deliver a lot of things other than just food, house cleaning and personal styling and things like that. So you could arguably have Gojek enter the market to deliver all these other types of services instead, and that would still open up the opportunity for jobs for people who have motorcycle licenses.
Timothy, thanks again for speaking with us. That was Dr. Timothy Wong, lecturer at the Department of Economics at NUS, talking to us about the likely presence of Gojek in Malaysia. We have a poll running on Twitter. Do you want to see Gojek in Malaysia? So far, 23 votes, 61% saying yes and 39% saying no. We also have some tweets that says here, first up from Uni that says, as a former motorcyclist, I think it's telling that the safety comments are primarily because of car drivers. Here's a thought. Many more motorcycles on the road probably provides hurt protection.
Yeah, I'm a car driver, but that sounds like an interesting idea. Yes, you don't want to mess with a whole bunch of motorcyclists, do you?
I think there is a chance that safety when it comes to motorcycles might actually improve if, let's say, Gojek does really push its drivers to its motorcyclists to really focus on that. You know, they provide helmets, they provide, as you said, phone holders, and they really push on that point, right? Making sure that if you don't follow safety procedures, we are going to, you know, reduce your income or ban you from the platform. So keep your thoughts coming. We do have the 6:30 PM news coming up. You can send those through at 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
We are talking about the likelihood of Gojek entering the Malaysian market. This is after Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq brought Gojek founder Nadiem Makarim to meet Prime Minister Tun Mahathir and Transport Minister Anthony Loke. And it was apparently quite a positive and productive meeting. So we've been asking for your thoughts. Do you want to see Gojek here in Malaysia? And would you consider taking a motorbike taxi here? You can let us know. Call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on Twitter, we do have a poll running. Do you want to see Gojek in Malaysia? 56% have said yes and 44% have
getting tighter.
Said no. Yeah,
getting tighter.
That is out of 71 votes. And on WhatsApp, we do have this first message from Adit that says, ride-sharing motorbikes are for last-mile solutions. No need for Gojek. They go ride all the way. Homegrown in all caps.
Yep, support local entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I just wonder why the same reasons might not fit with why Gojek has, you know, been welcomed into the market this way as opposed to Dago Ride, where I don't know what the differences were. It'd be interesting to one day be able to find out why specifically we are so much more ready, in terms, not we, but the Youth and Sports Ministry, at least, it seems to be much more ready to embrace Gojek compared to Dago Ride.
Well, it's an established company with wide range of services. They've worked out all the kinks and the problems, and they'd be experienced.
And we do have this message here that reads, with the current behavior of some motorcyclists, it really scares me as a car driver, let alone having to imagine having Gojek here. I'm of the opinion that it'll get a lot worse.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I do share the opinion to an extent, because I myself have seen motorcyclists running the red light and like swerving in between cars and shifting lanes like there's no tomorrow. And it does worry me if a service like Gojek is in Malaysia, whether these behaviours will be maintained, which is why I think it's important for Gojek to provide training for motorcyclists so that they know what is acceptable and not acceptable as a Gojek rider.
But you see, that message and that issue is now making me lean toward having Gojek, and also the most scary, most dangerous version of it too, because no, because there is such a difference on the road users between the motorbike users and the car users, and not always do they understand each other's worlds.
Yeah,
A motorbike user might graduate to becoming a car user, but rarely does it go the other direction. But this might be a way to cross-pollinate understanding of how it is. Because I think car drivers are very dismissive and a lot of prejudice there. Oh, typical motorbike. They're like, that's what they do. They're like that. They haven't, but the car drivers have no idea. No idea what the experience is like on the roads.
I get what you mean. So if, let's say, they have, they aren't able to, they don't have their car for the day, they aren't able to, for some reason, get any sort of other ride-hailing service besides Gojek, they have to use it. So they end up using it and they gain some sense of empathy from there.
Yeah, and it's an education.
So by having Gojek,